I'm going to be speaking again, just continuing in our series of A Skewed View, and this will be part seven. Is that right? Yeah, part seven. And what I'm going to be talking about is a skewed view of following Jesus. I really felt this is an important message for us to hear. And I love it that in our prayer time this morning, in our corporate prayer time, Louise brought a word, which was she felt the Lord really wanted us to listen and to pay attention. And I was so encouraged to hear that. It's not because of what I have to say. It's really about what God's word says. I think a skewed view of following Jesus is something that we could all use some help in. I think it's a little bit of a malaise that exists actually in the Western church as well, because we have so many choices. And when you have so many choices before you, it's hard sometimes to get fixed on one thing. And but we're going to get into the Word. I think this is going to be a challenging but also encouraging message, as I said, for all of us. I know that as I was getting ready for it and reading the scriptures that we're going to share this morning, I was really, really challenged. It made me really begin to think about what am I doing with my life. And those are good moments to have, because Jesus has so much for us, so much planned for us, and we don't want to miss out on any of that. Next slide. Thank you. So we're going to start off, why don't you open your Bibles up to Matthew. Matthew 4, verse 18. And I think we all know this scripture. This is a scripture where Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. And we see accounts of it in all four Gospels. And there's a different perspective in each, but the fundamental truth that's we find in all four is that Jesus is calling out these men to follow him. And the thing is, one of the skewed views that we often have is because we've read that scripture probably lots and lots of time. You know, Jesus calling them out, telling them to follow him, and we think, well, that's wonderful. Those are for the 12 disciples that he's called. But actually, everything in the Bible was written for each one of us, for every person, and for every time period. That's the wonderful thing about it. And this is something that Jesus is not just calling his 12 disciples in that moment, but this is something that he calls everyone who's a believer in Jesus. So let's pick it up from 18. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left the nets at once and followed him. And a little further upshore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. So what's interesting about this is, first of all, that says that Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw these two brothers, Simon and Andrew. And the thing is, even when he's referring to John and James as well, it says that he saw them. And one thing about Jesus, we know that he is the Son of God, but when he came as a man, as a human being here on earth. He left his divine self. He put that aside so that he could be just as we are, so he could experience everything that he would experience, so that we could never basically say, Jesus, you don't know what it is to feel whatever that is. Because he's experienced that, because he came as a man. But the wonderful thing is, in following Jesus, the whole idea behind it is to follow him, to follow his example. And so we see something really interesting here, because Jesus didn't just appear and be on, he wasn't on that the shore that day and randomly pick Simon and Andrew and John and James. Because what he had already begun to do before that, exampling for us as a person, as a man, not as the Son of God, but exampling relationship. The relationship that he had with the Father, the relationship with that he had with the Holy Spirit, the importance of spending time with that so that he could actually have the mind of Christ as we can, because that's something that you and I, he wants us to cultivate, is that relationship where we can actually know what is on the heart and mind of God. And so I believe that he was in tune to what the Father had seen in these men and what the Holy Spirit had spoken into him as he approached them. So he's seeing them, and again, this is important for all of us, that because Jesus looks at us in the same way. He doesn't just look at you and I in the moment of who we are, but he looks at us for who we're going to be, who we're going to become. And one of the ways that we do that is to follow him. So when he came to these men, I believe, we don't know, but I think what happened is when he said, come, follow me, that they reacted in the way that they did. Have you ever not read that scripture and been surprised that they all of a sudden left what they were doing? They left, in this case, their job, their trade. In the other case of John and James, they left fishing, but they also actually left a business that they were involved with their father Zebedee. And to be able to do that, how is that possible? I think it's because, again, when Jesus called them, knowing that the Father had already prepared their hearts to receive this, I believe, even though they didn't know it. But if you could remember, go back a little bit, when you heard about Jesus and you just felt something in your heart. You didn't totally understand it completely or totally, but you knew, you experienced something that was truth. And so when Jesus came and said, come, follow me, they knew that he was speaking a truth. They didn't understand it at the time. Actually, if they did understand it, they probably wouldn't have followed him. But they knew that it was true. And so they were able to move and go with him. But when Jesus again said, come follow me, it wasn't one of those moments on the shore where Jesus sees them and he's saying, come on, Peter, or Simon, come on, Andrew, why don't you come for a walk with me? We'll just walk down the beach. We'll just enjoy the scenery. Maybe he's going to have to share something. And then at the time, because inevitably you're on the beach or the shore, inevitably you reach a point where you can't go any further. And it wasn't one of those moments where you take a walk and you say, okay, I guess that's it, guys. Hey, that was a wonderful time. It was wonderful being with you. I'll see you another time, and just leave it at that. He wasn't telling them or asking them to follow in that sense. Because if we look at that word, come follow me, what it means, well, in the Greek, it means exactly what it says, come follow me. But what's important is, because it's a verb, it's the tense, it's in the present imperative, which means to constantly follow as a continued discipline. And I think when we live in a first world nation and we have so many choices and so many things vying for our attention, sometimes we get a skewed view of what Jesus means when he says to follow me, because we have so many things vying for us. There's so many things tugging at us. We get caught up in work. We get caught up in our families. We get caught up in other things. You see, we're going to follow something or someone. And it might be Jesus. It might be somebody else. It might be things that we want to do. And you can just fill in the blank and put whatever it is. But when we see what Jesus is saying here, this is not a casual thing. This is not a part-time thing. This is not a weekend thing. When he says, come, follow me, he means all the time, continually, following me. Does that mean, well, what about my work? What about my family? What about my school? I'm not saying that those things are not important. But Jesus is saying, basically, but you have to put me first. Because you and I are not the only people who have wrestled with the whole idea of following Jesus. They were wrestling in that back in Jesus' time as well. You know, sometimes we hear Jesus, we hear his word, we experience something about him, and it's exciting and you know that it's true. And then you kind of hang on to it for a while. It's like you hear a good preach, and that you go away saying, oh man, that was so good. I've got to make some adjustments in my life, and by the time it's evening, it's starting to fade out, and by Monday. You ever been that place? You've almost forgotten. You had all the right intentions, but you've got other things that you're following instead. Or maybe it's like, Jesus, I love what you're saying. I love who you are, but I'm just really busy at this time in my life. And I'll get back to you when things kind of settle down and I'm not so busy. And sometimes that's how we live. Again, am I the only person here who has wrestled with that? But we do that. But what does he have to say about that kind of attitude? Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Ouch! That hurts. If you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must give up. If you're following something else or someone else, you've got to give that up. You've got to take up your cross, because when you give it up and you take up your cross, and this is the cost that comes with it, it's hard. And some people actually have given their life for it. But whatever circumstances that you find as a result, that come as a result of that, you have to be able to bear, and you have to be able to count that cost as worthy of it. And I love what Janine shared. But when we do that, it glorifies God, and it's good for us. Why is it good for us? Because who else but Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit know us? No one knows us as well as they do. They know exactly who we are. They made us. They fashioned us. They formed us. They know everything about us. So when Jesus said, follow me, he's not doing it as a punitive kind of thing. He's doing it because of his great and amazing love that he wants for us. You see, because unless we can just solely follow him and only him, again, Jesus speaks about this in Matthew. He says you can't serve two masters. It's not possible. It doesn't work. You have to choose. And there's only one that you need to choose, and that's Jesus. So why does Jesus want us to follow him? And we've said this many times as we've preached. Because remember, we're made in God's image, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to follow him because he wants us to become like him. See, he came and he lived here like you and I as a person. And so he set out in his life while he lived here an example of how to lead that so that we had something that we could follow. It reminded me a little bit of, we don't see it too much anymore, but the whole apprenticeship idea. It used to be very common. Somebody wanted to be a blacksmith or a cabinet maker. So what did you do? You apprenticed with someone who was skilled, and very often they were given the names of master carpenters or master electricians and master whatever, like Hart. He's a master electrician. But the idea was you came and you learned and you watched and you spoke to and you got all the tips that were needed to be good at doing whatever that particular trade is. And Jesus, in the same way, but actually in a greater way, wants us to follow him so that we can follow his example. And if we have an attitude that doesn't say, well, but there's so many other things that I've got to do, then again, I'm not saying your work and your business, and particularly I'm talking about guys because very often we get our identity in what we do instead of who we are in Christ, that it's very caught up. I've been there, getting caught up in my identity and what I do and spending all that time working hard, working for something. It's always one of those moments where it's you're looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing, but you know that there's something deep inside. What it is, it's a sense of identity and who we are. But we get that in Jesus. And then whatever it is that God has placed you, wherever it is, you could be a teacher, you could be a doctor, you could be a carpenter, you could be whatever. But you live that way, but by putting Jesus first, and he enables you, and he's going to... And when you follow Jesus, he's going to help you in those situations. He's going to help you to be fruitful. He's going to help you to be good at whatever it is you're doing. But we need to not put that thing before him. You see, if any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way. But it's for our good. Amen? Amen. And that's why Paul says, too, I think it's just this morning, that scripture came when Paul says, imitate him as he imitates Jesus. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 11, if I'm not mistaken. And why does he say that? It's because as we, and this is where it gets exciting, because it's not just for our benefit, because as we follow Jesus and follow his example, we're setting an example for others to follow. That's why Paul says, imitate me, but as I imitate Christ. He's not drawing attention to himself, but it's important. We need to be good examples for one another. We should be more concerned as parents, ouch, I've been there, I'm living through that, in the things that we think are important for our kids, and what are they going to become. And rather than thinking, giving them an example of first, I'm not saying it's not important to go to school and learn to do things, but we can't put that ahead of teaching them to follow our example, to imitate us as we're following Jesus so that they will come and do that. Don't worry, Jesus will find a place for you, the right place for you to shine and to be an ambassador for him. See, I think part of the problem sometimes is our skewed view of following Jesus is some notion that we get that, you know, I received Jesus Christ, he's my Lord and Savior, I know I'm going to heaven, but it kind of sometimes ends there. It doesn't go any further than that. And yes, Jesus is our Lord, and he is our Savior. But what about the part in the Bible that talks about receiving him as Lord in our lives? I love this in Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord Remember? Confessing with Jesus that Jesus is Lord of my life and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. See, it's not just acknowledging him as your Savior, because he is, praise God, but he's our Lord. And that word in the Greek means it's a person exercising absolute ownership rights. So in other words, Jesus, when we declare him as Lord, we're acknowledging that Jesus has absolute ownership rights over us. Like, I know it's hard to grasp because it's kind of in our age, in our Western culture, this is sometimes a difficult thing to understand because we like to think that I'm not a slave to anyone. But originally, there's more context of it as a bond servant. You know, we always say that we've been bought with a price. But it never really sinks in that he's really Lord. But he's not a Lord like a human Lord or master would be. He doesn't Lord it over us. He's Lord simply because of who he is. And he needs us to understand that he is Lord in order that we can benefit from all the plans that he has for us. Because remember when I said earlier, he doesn't see you for who you are in the moment. He sees you for who you are going to become. Why? Because he's God and he made you. So he can see what you and I can't very often see. So he needs to be Lord in our life because he's wanting us to help us to follow him into the plans and purposes that he has for us. So I'm going to read Matthew 4, 19 and 20 again, but this time in the Amplified version. Because the Amplified, the nice thing about it, if you read that, it fills in, it adds a few words that help us to understand it. Now that we know what following means, and now that we know what having Jesus as our Lord means. And so it says, and he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk. And I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, following his example. Isn't that amazing? To truly follow Jesus means he has to become everything to us. Exodus 23 says, you must not have any other God before me. And that God can be any number of things, any type of idol. Mark 12:30 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Not some, but all. Because all is necessary for us to walk and to follow with him. I mean, recently, how can I put this in a way that doesn't seem offensive? But being called a Christian, I'm sorry, to me doesn't mean anything. It's been diluted because there's so many people that say I'm a Christian, but they're not really following Jesus. I'm a Jesus follower. I follow Jesus because that tells it the way it is. It's either it is or it's not. See, we have to love him with everything that is in us. That's what he knows is best for us. Whenever we decide to do something else as a way of living other than follow Jesus, we have a skewed view of following him. It's off. It's wrong. And I think Jesus wants us to listen and pay attention. because he's coming back for a bride that's spotless and without blemish. And unless we get this, the church, we're not going to be doing what he wants us to do. If we're going to be distracted by other things in our lives, we can't be. We have to be totally focused on him. All the other things, he said, why does he say, do not worry? I mean, if he says the birds don't worry about what they have to eat, but he provides for them. He will provide for us. It's not that he's not conscious of our needs and our desires. But that begins as a result of following him completely, totally. Next slide, just a quick summary of what I've just been talking about. Can I get the next slide? This thing is not working. Just a quick summary, just recapping what I've just said over the last 20 minutes or so, that Jesus calls all his children to follow him continually, constantly. Remember that. We can only follow and walk with him when we accept him as Lord and Master. There is no other way. We have to give up whatever plans that we have for ourselves. And our love for him must be complete. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And I'll just close briefly. Well, I don't know about how briefly. But just with these 6 points. And you can put those on there, Cherie, because I'm not having luck with this thing down here. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? We have to believe in him. We have to have faith in him. Are they up there? Yeah, they are. If you want to jot down the scriptures, read them. They're good. They're important. Because how do you follow someone that you don't know, that you don't believe in? You have to believe in him. The only way you're going to believe in him is you got to spend time with him. You got to be with him. You got to be in his word. You got to be talking to him on an ongoing basis, because the only way you can follow someone is to know them and to know that and Jesus is the real deal. You need to believe in him, and those scriptures will just substantiate that. You have to love him and love others. Matthew 22, 36-40. When Jesus is asked, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment of the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. This is the first and greatest command, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these three commandments." And loving God, sometimes we can see how important it is. Sometimes we don't understand the importance of loving others. But if we're going to be out there exampling Jesus, we have to have his heart for people. He loves people, whether they're following him or not. And that's why we have to have a heart that's open. And the only way we're going to have that is by following him and following his example. We have to make Jesus our Lord. No question. Acts 2:36 says, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you sacrificed, to be both Lord and Messiah." We need to walk in humility. That's how Jesus exampled. In our meekness, in our gentleness, and especially in honoring others. You know, Bridget, when she was talking about, alluded to a little bit of that. You know, it's very easy to go somewhere as a Westerner, maybe in a country that's not quite, and think somehow that we're better. Or not. We have to be humble, because again, Jesus is all about people. We can't see ourselves as being greater or higher or at a different level than anyone else. Jesus was humble. He experienced all he did, all the suffering, all that, as as a human, yet he was Lord. He could have called his angels down at any moment, but he didn't. He humbled himself. He didn't say, how dare you say that to me? Do you know who I am? No, he took it. Humility is important. It's an important part of following Jesus. We learn humility through the following Jesus so that we can example it in our lives and we can example it for other people. We need to obey his commandments. You know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we love that, the Great Commission. But after verse 19, where he says we're basically to preach the word to all nations and raise up disciples, he says this important thing. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end. We can't, by following Jesus, we learn what his commands are. We learn what's on his heart. We learn to be faithful and obedient to everything that he says. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, obey my commands. And the last thing is allow Holy Spirit to lead you, because we can't do this on our own. No way. But Holy Spirit is there to show us. You know, I hope that nobody feels condemned in any way. I didn't feel condemned when I was preparing this, but it was a wake-up call, a big wake-up call. I had to ask myself, am I really following Jesus in the way, not, see, my skewed view was in the way that I thought, but I don't want that. Because we have to get rid of the skewed views in order to follow him. And so we have to ask and be honest with ourselves. And Jesus didn't highlight that. He's not highlighting that this morning, so that he's not bringing condemnation on anyone. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But it's a wake-up call. Yes, we have to make adjustments. Yes, we have to know, what do I believe in? What does Jesus actually say about what it means to follow him? We need to learn these things, and then we begin to walk it out. He doesn't see you again. He sees you for who you're going to become. He loves you just where you are, as you are. And he sees that you're stumbling, but he still loves you. But he doesn't worry about it, because if you get this, you can begin to take the steps necessary to just say, Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart and with everything that's in me. Because whatever happened yesterday doesn't matter to him. It's where you're going that's on his heart. And that's where he wants to take us, because he's preparing us. He's wanting us to grow and to mature so we can experience the fullness of what it is. One last thing. Just imagine if we can get this one simple thing of following Jesus right. I love it in Ephesians 3. Am I in Ephesians 3? His intent, verse 10, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purposes, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. That's what he's building you and I, the church, to be. And we become that when we make a decision to follow him and capture his heart. And as we capture his heart, the church will do exactly that. It will reveal to the world who Jesus is. Jesus has done it all. We just have to catch up to where he is and to where he wants us to be. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. And I thank you, Lord, that you've been revealing things in our lives that aren't quite right and aren't quite lining up with your truth. But because you love us, you're bringing these things to our attention so that we can make the changes and adjustments. Lord, I pray that we will understand what it means to follow you, and that we will desire that with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.